Thank you for doing that. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We're moving on one verse. Today we enter into these new set of verses that I think are so appropriate tonight as a church and as individuals, because there are some changes that we at Harvest Fellowship are going to go through over the next couple weeks that are going to be pretty tough on us, I think. And many of you have probably heard rumors and even gossip, positive and negative, and some reasonable, some not. And that's, I don't have it up there yet, but I have Rockwell's picture of the gossip chain. I don't know if you've ever seen that. There it is right there, and I just took a little portion of it. It's interesting how when news happens, so does talk. And the rumors are about some of our staff leaving, which is true, okay? But the rumors have also included me as well. There's been many rumors, people come up saying, we hear you're quitting. I want to talk first of all about me, so you can kind of get an idea of where I've been before I get to the scriptures. I want to talk to you as your pastor. I've asked you to pray for the leadership, and especially for me, and I really believe that many of you have done that, and it's really been a welcome, because every day is up and down for me, and I just feel sometimes, I almost feel like I can feel the individuals praying at the time that they pray, because I personally, starting back from the beginning of the year, have gone through a pretty difficult time in my life of evaluation and reflection. And during that time, several men and I got together for a series of meetings to talk about church vision and mission and where we were headed as a church. And in that meeting, I told the men that I was working on an exit strategy. Which is typically when somebody leaves right away or, you know, has a couple months. But I was looking at it as lasting several years. I'm this July, I'm 62. I don't know, you know, I may be in the pulpit to 70. You may shoot me before that, you know, who knows. But I really feel like I need an exit strategy to start to figure out who's going to take over and all those kind of things. And so, and from a personal level, I was hoping that it would reduce my workload, because the workload has been exhausting. And it morphed into that I was leaving the church, and for a couple reasons. And one is, as I said, especially coming around to this second year, I've been exhausted. Working way too many hours. Debbie finally counted my hours one day, and she said, not counting Sunday, not counting events, not counting counseling in the evenings and mornings, that kind of thing. I worked a minimum of 60 hours. And I didn't really realize it was that many, but it took that many to keep this church going in a lot of senses. And I had come to the place that I felt like at the beginning of this year that I couldn't keep going the way I was going. And many of you have seen it, especially in the last 4 or 5 weeks. I've had a lot of comments with people saying, boy, you really look, really, you don't look so hot. And the last time people were telling me that, I had heart issues, so it kind of scared me. Most comments to me have been very loving and concerned, and I'm so, I so love you guys for the things that you say to me and the encouragement you give me. So I simply sat down and began creating this strategy to replace myself with all the things that I'm doing that have nothing to do with the pastor. Are you kind of following what I'm saying so far? Okay. You look like you're in shock or something, so... As a result, it actually has reduced some of my stress or at least some of the exhaustion that has depleted me. But one dark particular moment about probably 8, weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, through that exhaustion, before I sat down and started writing my exit strategy, I started breaking into tears and crying uncontrollably. I didn't want to do this yet. And I began to cry for a couple weeks. Every time somebody would talk to me, I just start crying. I pretended something was in my eye and whatever, because I didn't want people to get worried. One particular morning, Deb and I ate breakfast together, and I told her, I'm going to resign as Harvest pastor. I can't do this anymore. I just didn't like the person I was turning into. I hope you can hear me. I just didn't like the person I was turning into or becoming. My kids said to me at different times, one of them, even as much as a couple days ago, Dad, we'd rather you not do the ministry than to be dead. And that affects my heart. Hard. So in the exit strategy, the first item on my list was to start a maintenance team. And with Terry Michael as the leader, Craig, Richie, and I approached him about doing that. And then I trained and helped him understand, because I was doing all that stuff. I don't know, I must have been nuts. And with Jeff Foster and Jeff Allen, along with others as well, it took a portion almost every day. I could feel the difference out of my life, and it gave me, I don't know how to measure that. I've told people maybe 30% of my job has been lifted and gone away, and the result is it just saved me from resigning. I mean, it made the difference between resigning and not resigning, and they've been my heroes ever since. And I'm still working on the exit strategy to get some other things done. So I thought, in order to dispel the rumors and even clarify in my own heart and your heart, I am going to say this as clear as I can. I am not going anywhere. Do you get that? Yeah. What? Yeah. I am here to stay. I love you all. I love the ministry. I just got too tired. And myself, along with the elders, we're going to lead you into the future. And I would say, read my lips. But when George Bush Sr. said, read my lips, can you flip to the next one? Thank you. He violated his lips. So I thought, you know, I wanted to come up, and it just sounded like such a cool thing to say. But I'm going to hang on to my commitment here. And so I don't want you to worry about that. I've made some adjustments in my life, and I've met with the elders and talked with them, and I'm going to try to, even if I have to take time off in between preaching and that kind of thing, to get fully replenished, that's what I'm going to do, because the last thing I want to do is give up the ministry, because I love it and I love you. But two others are leaving, and they're unrelated, completely unrelated. One of them you probably know, because it's got running through the other one. The other one you may be hearing for the first time tonight. And I thought, you know what, let's just do them both in one night so I don't have to do 2 or 3 weeks out on this thing. And neither one of them are going to be here tonight, but they'll be here tomorrow. But they both feel led to leave and to move on in their lives, and I'm excited for both of them. The first one is Aaron Hulbert, our youth pastor, and he handed in his resignation several weeks back, talked to the kids in his group, and you know, I thought, what can I say about Aaron? And if you think I'm not going to cry, think again. But I was there when Aaron was born. He and his sister, they were twins. And I can remember when Donna brought him into the church and we looked at these twins. And there was little Aaron and little Deborah. And There was something about Aaron that I always loved. His growing up and that kind of thing, and ultimately I kind of found out we're very similar temperamented. We kind of think the same. And I remember when he started coming to church over at Heritage, he kind of went to college and got a little out there and came back and really wanted to have the Lord in his life. And he brought this girl to church. Her name was Tammy. And I fell in love with her as well. I just thought, and I told Aaron, Aaron, this is the right girl for you. And Aaron, about 2 weeks later, asked her to marry him and married her. And he said, it's because you said it, Steve. He says, I was right on the edge, but you said it. And so he married her. And as most of you know, about a year and a half later, she ran a stop sign, got T-boned by a semi going 60 miles an hour and was instantly killed. And we had John and Lindsay and Tammy and Aaron and Debbie and I had a small group, and we just met, and gosh, it was awful. But you know, one of the good things about it is for the first year, every day, we sat down and grieved together. And it taught me and it taught Aaron both good grieving and healthy grieving and unhealthy grieving. Because I'd lost my dad, but I'd never lost like a wife or anything like that. And so we would grieve together and talk about it. And I would ask him questions. And we made up some questions for me to ask him to make sure that he felt like he was grieving right. And then one day over here, he pulled me aside and he said, and I haven't told anybody, but I met this girl named Jen. And I saw him date, and I saw him get engaged, and I had a little grieving of my own because I lost some of the relationship with Aaron to Jen, and they married and have grown together. And now I see Aaron and Jen together, and it's a great thing. And I know Aaron needs to fly. You know what I'm saying? He's been under my tutelage, and he's learned. He knows his theology and Bible and Greek, and he needs to fly away. And I don't know how to explain it any better, because for some of you just hearing this or hearing me say that may know, but I understand, because I had to do the same thing. And I've seen guys in the ministry, somewhere you, when you know you're a leader, you need to step out and do it. And so I'm thrilled to death for him, and my heart breaks. So he'll be leaving after camp with our kids, and he and Jen will be leaving the Denver area, they think. They have a few different choices, but there's some ministry positions open that he will probably take. Enough on Aaron. The second one is Clyde Roy, our evangelist. He's leaving Sunday, tomorrow. And this is a killer too. We've been talking about it for a year. And he needs to fly too. He's been associated with Bill Fay, who lives in Florida now, and Bill Fay goes to church after church every week. And Clyde wants, he's 64, before he retires, he wants to do something big and fun. And we had talked at one time about both of us doing it together, but then I realized my gift isn't evangelism. My gift is pastoring and teaching and leading and that kind of thing. And so he had told me about the beginning of the year that he was pretty serious about going, and just announced, told me Wednesday that he's leaving. He's leaving. I was hoping that he would just step down and pastor an elder and stay with us, but he said, you know, Steve, I can't do that. I'll just draw right back in. And so he's going to fly too. And it's been stressful with all the exhaustion stuff. The last, when Aaron gave me his letter and Clyde told me, it's just been very, very exhausting. It's been even hard to sleep. And I know it's been for you who have had that too. So listen to me on this, because I need you to hear this. Change is hard, but change happens. And we've got to let it happen. People come and go in churches. People come and go in jobs. They even come and go in families. And we're used to that. And you know, we particular at this church aren't so used to it, because we've kept our leadership fairly intact to this time. You know, we've had a few leaders go, but not many. And most churches are kind of used to it. A lot of times staff leaves and nobody says much. But for us, it hasn't been that way. So we're not used to it, but you guys, we need to celebrate this. We need to celebrate the fact that the body of Christ is much bigger in Harvest, and God's calling Clyde to a greater body of Christ, and he's calling Aaron to whatever he's going to do. And we need to thank the Lord for it. So let's just stop for a second, and let's pray for them, and then I'm going to get on with my message. If I have any time left. Father, we just come this morning or this evening, and our hearts are broken and our hearts are encouraged at the same time, that you have called two of our leadership to enter another world, a different world, a different arena. And I'm excited for them both, but I am brokenhearted because I've known both of them for so many years. And to have to let go of that, and I won't be able to fill it till probably next Sunday with Clyde, and after camp with Aaron. And for the rest of us, the same thing. Lord, I pray that you will encourage our hearts and strengthen us through all this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to start a new series, and the series is called Meditate on These Things. Meditate on these things is part of Philippians 4:8. And I don't think it could happen at a more appropriate time in our church history, and you'll see why. But it's about thinking correctly, because in these kind of situations, you can think incorrectly, can't you? It's very easy in our lives when it gets uncomfortable to spiral downward and to think it's all about us. And, you know, I had talked about the gossip and that kind of thing because it hurts. And so I think these scriptures are going to guide us through these times. I feel like in some, you know, senses that God had really placed on me to do a lot of work in the prayer section a little longer than I typically go. And now it seems real clear in my mind why that is. Because we're going to go through some emotional waters. For some of you, it will be hardly anything. For others of us, it will be a lot, depending on our investment. And it's going to tell us how to think, not how to react. Okay? So let's look at God's timely instruction for us. Philippians 4:8, and if you have a bulletin, it's in your bulletin, there's an insert. I'd love for you to stick it up on your refrigerator or tape it to your dashboard, whatever you do to meditate on it. And to meditate on verse 8 and 9. Finally, brethren. When he says finally, brethren, it means from now on. And if there isn't anything more appropriate, it is that right now. From now on, brethren. And I want you to listen very carefully to his instructions today from God's word. First of all, we have found that if we pray and have thanksgiving, that we have peace, right? That's what Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says. Now, there's a second part of this. It's the continued process of peace. To think correctly and to analyze and to carry on the inner dialogue in our minds with God as to how to process our thoughts. It takes clear initiative to do right. To think right and to think the way God wants us to think. Amen? It takes work. But here's what God says, how we should think. Whatever things are true. And I have added some stuff so we can get a thorough comment in the bulletin insert. I've done the same thing. Whatever things are true is as much as is true or honest or truthful, having integrity, the opposite of dishonest and unreliable things. We tell ourselves the truth and we tell others the truth, not the lies that we're tempted to believe in our life. Whatsoever things are noble, as much as is respectable and dignified and worthy of respect, rather than disrespectful or undignified. Whatever things are just, as many as is right according to God's principles and values, to be in right relationship with each other and God, rather than obedience to love and righteousness. Whatever things are pure, as much as is innocent, pure, and wholesome, not mixed with moral impurity. Whatever things are lovely, as much as is unifying and pleasing and agreeable, what promotes peace rather than conflict. And then, whatever is of good report, as much as it is positive and constructive and worthy of praise, rather than negative and destructive. These six things God tells us to dwell on, to think on, to keep our minds on. And he calls it praiseworthy. And he tells us to ponder, to meditate, to keep on thinking about these things. And then he makes his final statement. If there is any virtue, if there is any goodness or excellence or a wonderful act, if there is anything praiseworthy, anything to praise at all, to cover any other base that we might think otherwise, meditate, ponder, keep an account is what it actually means. It means to almost put it to the ledger on these things. And the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these. Or these do. These practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Now, if you aren't convicted by that, then you've got a hard heart. Amen? What a convicting thing. The God of peace will be with you. And I'm telling you, through these last weeks that I've gone through, it has been a roller coaster, and part of the good part of the roller coaster is every time I have to come back to Philippians 4, 6, 7, 8, and 9 and grab his peace again and settle in. Because according to God's word, he wants us to think about things that are pure, things that are wholesome, unifying, agreeable, positive, constructive, and then acting on it. We are changing. But you and I have to change and not listen to gossip or dissension. I'm trying to pour it out here in the pulpit so you know what's going on. Or accusations, but we are to respect and dignify the other person. You've heard it straight from me, so you know the dope. Tomorrow, those guys are probably going to get up and talk as well. But backbiting or unwillingness to consider all the input or according to God's word or according to wholesomeness and unity and positive thinking is not right. It's not God's way. And he doesn't have an alternative to what he told us to do. So which is it for you? Where are you going to go with this? Are you going to honor Aaron? Are you going to honor Clyde? Are you going to honor me? Are you going to honor each other? And are we going to put our arms around each other and embrace this change and move forward? Because that's what I'm asking of you. Especially you guys who have been for a long time and this means a lot. I'm asking you, let's go arm in arm, hand in hand, and move into our future. and rejoice and celebrate and be praise on our lips for where they're going and what they're going to do in the body of Christ. Because God will heal even this, won't he? Let's pray. Father, we come tonight because this is a tough time. Lord, I know that for probably a minority, it's real tough for the majority. It may not be as tough. I don't know what they feel. I only know what I feel, and a few people that have talked around me, and this is very heartbreaking, and yet, Lord, there is a certain sense of joy and excitement in our heart as well. And so I pray that you'll be with us. I pray that we will be able to model Philippians 4:8. That all of our negative conclusions or our suspicions or all those things that make us spiral downward will be interrupted by praise and thanksgiving and our prayers and all of the positive things that you've asked us to do, that we would draw together as a people of Harvest and live out God's principles and values, your values. Lord, help us to live out our faith. In Jesus' name we pray.